a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, this is a very familiar Bible story. You probably all heard it before. But my desire for you this morning is that you would hear it for the first time again, especially if you have fears in your life, because sometime you're going to have to get out of the boat in your thinking. Now, this story falls on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children that Jesus just had done before. In fact, all four gospel writers include that story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus this story. And that's rare. They oftentimes don't include all the same stories, but they do this one. Jesus dismisses the crowd that he just fed. And in John's gospel, it says that they wanted to make him a king for the purpose of leading a revolt against Rome. They thought someone with these kind of powers would be very useful politically. Jesus wanted no part of that. And so he went by himself to a mountain to pray. Why did he separate himself? To reject this attempt to make him a bread king. There are times when we need to walk away from the crowd because the crowd isn't always right. He needed time alone with God. He needed to hear his Father's voice, not the voice of the crowd. He needed time to pray, and so do you. Perhaps you have a big decision that you're weighing. You need that time separated alone to seek God. And he wanted to teach his disciples an important lesson. Miracles teach us about who Jesus is. He was going to show them that he is the Lord over nature. Now, he would not be with them on the boat, but the 12 baskets full of the remains from the miracle was on the boat. That could have served as a reminder to them of Jesus' power. Now, I want you to notice in the first sentence that I read, the third word, it's the word made. Jesus made them get into the boat. Surely to get away from the crowd, because the crowd was beginning to influence them too, that maybe Jesus should be a king and lead a revolt. But he made them get into the boat. That wasn't their idea. And I think that's an important part to remember in our story. Then they begin to row. And the text says that the wind was against them. Now the Sea of Galilee sits in a deep valley. It's like a cup. The night air cools and sinks, and it rushes through the valleys and ravines, pouring into the Sea of Galilee. And that region is known for high winds and sudden storms that can come up quickly. It says literally, the text, that they were tormented by the waves. So this is a tough situation that they're in right now. And you realize that Jesus is the one who put them in it. He made them get into the boat. And maybe that's true in your life. You feel like you were led to do something. You felt like you had heard the voice of God that I need to do this. And then a storm arises. And that can be confusing to us. You think, I was obedient and immediately I have this problem. Sometimes when we disobey, we have a storm in our life. And that's more expected, kind of like a Jonah experience. But here they obey and they get a storm, a nautical nightmare. It's really easy to sail when the waves are calm and the sky is blue. But when the spray is splashing in your face and the boat is bouncing up and down, then you find out what you're made of. But I want you to see here that obedience doesn't prevent storms in your life, but it can strengthen your faith. God has a purpose in it that you may not know yet. Then in verse 25, it says it was the fourth watch of the night. That means it was sometime between 3 and 6 a.m. They had been rowing this boat for about 6 hours at least. They were tired. They were frightened. It was the darkest time of the night. They were on no sleep. And then they see something out there on the waves. Mark's account says that Jesus saw them when he was praying on the mountain. Supernaturally, he was seeing them out in the middle of this lake struggling in the boat. And he had compassion on them because he cared for them and he came to them. But it says in Matthew's account that they saw him or saw something and they were terrified. Now, I want you to put yourself in their wet sandals. How would you have felt seeing what you saw? Would you be amazed and overjoyed? Look, it's Jesus coming to us. The Phillips translation of this is they were scared out of their wits. Why? Because human beings don't walk on water. It's impossible. There was nothing in their experience to process what they were seeing. So it would be quite normal to be frightened by this experience. It's in the middle of the night. It's dark. Perhaps it's raining. The wind is blowing. They see some silhouette out there on the waves, and they thought it was a ghost. So they scream out in fear. Now, maybe you picture this scene in your mind's eye as you read the story. I don't know why. It's probably because of the influence of a lot of pictures that I've seen in pictorial Bibles. But the pictures of Jesus walking on the water, it seems like the waves are always calm. And the sea is calm. I don't know if you've seen any of the calm pictures. Almost calm like a swimming pool. And I think, well, that would be a cool miracle to see Jesus walk across your swimming pool. Wouldn't it be awesome to have Jesus on your swim team? So their reaction, though, wasn't overjoy. Oh, look, here comes Jesus. It was fear. So this says to me that fear distorts reality. Fear is false evidence appearing real. If I'm fearful, that's something, I'm believing something false. It might appear to be true to me. I'm thinking this is true, this is reality, but it really isn't. It's false. So their fear kept them from recognizing Jesus. Their fear kept them from recognizing Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. So if I'm full of fear this morning, then I'm going to have an incorrect view about God. And that can happen exactly to us. We're in a storm. We're afraid. Jesus isn't in the boat with us. We feel like we're alone. We can't see him. He's there, but we just don't recognize him or perceive him because fear has distorted our reality of our situation. We think God has left me all alone in the middle of this storm. And maybe you feel like that right now today because of the circumstances in your life. I want you to know that he sees you. Because of your fear, you may not see him accurately or correctly, but he sees you. Secondly, their fear caused them to be afraid of Jesus. Their fear caused them to be afraid of Jesus. And we turn from what we fear. We automatically run away from it. So that means we can run away from God. We can turn our back on God. We can blame him. Do you know what the most repeated commandment in the Bible is? Fear not. It's said some 300 plus times. I saw one figure was 365. It's almost like there's one fear not per day, like a daily vitamin we need to take. But Jesus said to them, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. The it is I, the Greek there, the original language is ego eimi, which means I am. That's the same thing God said to Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. It's a profound moment because Jesus is saying to them, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. Let go of your fear. I've got you. I've got this situation. I'm God. I'm the Lord over nature. I'm the Lord over your problems. Moses may have parted the waters, but Jesus walked over top of them. Those storm waters only served to wash his feet. And that's the same Jesus that's in your life. So then Peter speaks up. Do you find that surprising? No, it's not surprising at all. Peter's always talking. But he makes an amazing request. He asks to join Jesus on the water. I like Peter. I think Jesus liked Peter too. Because Jesus likes faith. He likes the person that will believe him for the impossible. For the person who's so zealous for him, he wants to be with him, even if it's out in the middle of a stormy sea. Jesus said, come. Now, I want you to imagine in your mind, and I'm trying to imagine me doing this, putting your legs over the side of the boat, having your rear end on the side of the boat, plopping your legs over onto the water, and then standing up. Can you imagine doing that? We forget that Peter actually walked on the water for a time. I think he took four steps. One step on the letter C, one step on the letter O, one step on the letter M, and one step on the letter E. Now, would you have done that? Probably not. I don't think I would have for sure. I think I would have been hiding under the bench, probably. The reality is, I don't think it would have ever crossed my mind. Yeah, let me get out of this boat and walk over to Jesus. I don't think I would have done it. I would have stayed in the boat. So I wonder if Jesus might be saying to you today, come, come to me, right out into the storm you're in. I'm out there. Come out to me. Would you rather stay in the relative safety of the boat in the middle of the storm or go out and be with Jesus? See, wherever Jesus is going to be a lot safer than your boat. And Peter did that. He took a few steps, but then he became fearful. Maybe he looked back at the boat and thought, I got to get back to the boat. That's where my safety really is, in the boat. Or he looked at the wind and the waves. What we do, we focus on our problem. We take our eyes off of God and what he is able to do, the impossible, and we focus on our problem. We begin to wonder, why am I out here? What am I doing out here? I don't belong out here. And then he sank. Fortunately, he did the best thing he could have possibly done next. He cried out to Jesus, Jesus, save me. And Jesus did. He reached out his hand and rescued him and grabbed him and picked him up. And do you think for a minute that the two of them swam back to the boat? No way. They walked back to that boat. Peter's mistake, his lack of faith, and he's tried it for it. Why didn't you believe? Why are you so full of doubt and fear? Peter's mistake was still better than the rest of the disciples who were hiding out in the relative safety of the boat. Now, let's focus on Jesus walking on the water and how that can help us with our fears. You might be in a storm right now in your life. Let me share you a few lessons that I think can be applicable to your situation. Number one, Jesus moves toward our fears. That's good to know that Jesus is moving toward our fears. Remember, he made them get into the boat? Do you think he knew that there was going to be a storm? He put them in this potentially fearful, hard situation. Why would he do that? Because he wanted them to face their fears. I can't face my fears when I'm running away from them or when I'm denying them. God will want me to face my fears someday or they're going to destroy me. Job 3:25 says, for the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. The Bible says fear has torment, and the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We are going to have to deal with our fears, or they will destroy us. But we don't have to deal with them alone. He will come toward us in our fears. Secondly, Jesus enters into our fears. Jesus enters into our fears. He walked on the stormy sea to them. He entered into the lion's den with Daniel. He entered into the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew young men. We don't want lion's dens. We don't want fiery furnaces. But 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Maybe you're wrestling that lion today, or maybe it's getting really hot in your life at this moment. Jesus will enter into that place with you. We don't avoid those places. We can't. But Jesus comes in them with us. Thirdly, Jesus calls us to trust Him with our fears. Jesus calls us to trust Him with our fears. The story says they brought Jesus into the boat. They recognized Him. He calmed the waters. They became still. He gave them peace in their hearts because He's the Lord. So you and I have to learn to trust Him when the wind blows and the waves crash in our lives. We can't panic and run. We need to pray and trust. Yes, the fears look really big. They seem so overwhelming, but remember, they're nothing to Jesus. And actually, it was our fears that served to bring Him into the boat with them. They found out. They experienced Him as their deliverer. Peter learned that. He walked on the water, then he sank, and then Jesus rescued and delivered him. And then it says that they all worshiped Him. They worshiped the Lord over creation. Fourth lesson, Jesus moves us away from our fears. Jesus moves us away from our fears. He takes them to the other side. Now, sometimes He does that very quickly. In John's account of this story, it says immediately they were on the other side. Sometimes maybe it takes a while, but He will deliver you. Know this, there is another side to your fears. It's a bright side of hope and victory and freedom and peace. Jesus will take you to the other side. What's your fear? We have a lot of common fears. I've read over the years that death and public speaking are probably two of the biggest fears people have. So imagine speaking at your own funeral. That would be a bummer. I think a lot of people fear the unknown. That's very common, to fear the unknown. So we fear the future. We don't know what's going to happen. I personally am not a big fan of deep water, so I don't think I would have gotten out of the boat. I don't love needles either. People can fear failure. They can feel being rejected. I don't want anybody to reject me. I want everybody to like me. We can fear success, which sounds weird, but when we're successful, things change in our lives, and we don't like change, and so we sabotage ourselves so we stay in the same place. Here's a big one. Being insignificant. Wow, that's a fear of mine. Being disrespected by everybody. Not able to make a difference in someone's life. But Jesus wants you to overcome whatever your fears are because He wants you to experience Him as your deliverer. So what are you afraid of today? Maybe it's something big. Maybe it's something small. Don't compare your fears to other people because they're real to you. If you are serious about going forward in your life in Christ, you're going to have to face your fears. He is going to make you. Well, then I'm not going to serve God. Well, sadly, some people decide to do that. But the disciples, and I trust you, will face your fears and get out of the boat and come to Jesus. Now, I think this miracle is a foretaste of something that was going to happen later. Jesus is going to die on the cross. And the disciples were going to be all alone. They're going to be sad and fearful, wondering what's going to happen next. But Jesus is going to rise from the dead, and he's going to come to them and appear to them mysteriously in the upper room where they are joyfully reunited. So Jesus was giving them this experience as a foreshadowing of something that was going to happen to them in the future. And I think the same is true for us too. Jesus is in heaven and we're down here on the earth and we're going through storms right now in our lives. And he sees us. He cares. The scripture says he will come again and take us home. Listen to John 14, 1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus also said in John 16, 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And instead of walking on water as he comes to us, he'll be flying and he'll take us to himself to be where he is. And we'll be flying too, like Superman. That will be neat. He will take us to the other side. So I say to you, my friends, fear not. Perfect love casts out fear. You're going to be in the grip of either one or the other. Which will it be? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for the one who is struggling with fear, maybe the unknown or something to do regarding their health. I just pray that today they would take heart and not be afraid and know that you are there with them, that you've got this, that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you are good and faithful.